if you think about 20 years ago, these apps didn't even exist for you to create content online and build a platform. Literally 20 years ago, this was not here. And that, and so I think how fast the industry has grown, and now the barriers to entry in creating your profile, building an audience online, is literally zero. You could do it with your smartphone. And back then, you might have needed a publication. Like, you might have needed a magazine.
Welcome to Everything is Teachable, the podcast that takes you behind the scenes to learn how everyday creators have transformed their skills and passions into online courses and businesses.
Welcome back to another episode of Everything is Teachable. My name is Haley, and I am Teachable's Senior Social Media Strategist and host of this podcast. Today's episode is so value-packed, I am so excited for you to listen to it. Today, we're talking to Emmeline Cortez, who is a full-time content creator, influencer, and online course creator. She is going to be giving us all of the tips and tricks behind what it takes to have successful brand partnerships and to get started with full-time content creation, because she used to be a full-time employee in the aerospace industry. I cannot wait for you to hear her story, and let's go ahead and say hello to Emma. Hi, Emma. Thank you so much for joining me today. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm great. I have been so looking forward to having you on the podcast, and I'm so glad you're here.
I am so excited to be here. So thank you for having me.
Oh my, of course, of course. So to start things off, I'd love for you to give a little bit of an intro about yourself and your online courses, your business, and all of that.
All right. So my name is Emma, and I am a Seattle-based content creator. I started my blog and my Instagram back in 2014 during my senior year of college, continued it as a side hustle up until I got laid off in 2020 when I decided to take it full time. So I identify as a content creator because I create content for my blog, my Instagram, my TikTok. I also create courses for creators and influencers. And I also create podcast episodes for our podcast community, the Content Creatives Podcast. So kind of in all of the creation space, restarted my YouTube channel. I'm still like baby steps on YouTube. I feel like that's like the last channel I've really adopted. But yeah, I'm on a lot of social media channels.
I love it. I love it. And I know you also have online courses on Teachable. Can you talk a little bit about that as well?
Yes, of course. So on Teachable, I have three established courses, and then I'm about to launch my fourth one. So my courses are really for aspiring creators and influencers. And my biggest, most popular course is how to negotiate paid brand collaborations. So brand partnerships is the primary way I make money as a creator. And I was just getting so many questions from other influencer friends about how to negotiate with brands, how to price yourself, what's usage, what's exclusivity. And so I decided to create a course actually in 2020, right before I got laid off, and just share all my knowledge about how to negotiate with brands. And then I have other courses about how to set goals for your brand and business, as well as just how to build an engaged community with your content plan and strategy. And then an upcoming course, I feel like I've spoken very quickly, but an upcoming course for brand new creators who are interested in working with brands is literally called How to Get Started with Brands. And so I love Teachable. It's been such a great way to just educate my community. And honestly, like, I feel like I was just answering so many DMs, and I was, you know, answering the same questions over and over again. And I just like wanted a space where I could show like real life examples or just like bigger explanations, that Teachable and putting in a course was the right format for me to do that.
Right, right. Ooh, mm-hmm. Well, first of all, congratulations on getting ready to launch your fourth course. And by the time this comes out, it will already be launched.
Yes.
So, yeah. Yes. So exciting. So exciting. And I love all of the topics that you touch on in your courses. Those are such a hot topic. And I'm also very excited to like dive into that world a bit more in this episode.
Yes.
But before we get into all of that goodness, I really want to hear more about your background and kind of where you were before you went full-time as a content creator. And I know that leading up to the layoff. You were in, working in the aerospace industry. Mm-hmm. And you were also at that time balancing this content creation side hustle with your full-time career.
Yeah.
So I'd love to hear more about that journey. That's so just inspiring and amazing. So I would love to hear about kind of like how you learned to balance that mm-hmm. side hustle with your full-time career.
Yeah, I balanced my aerospace career with content creation for 6 years. So I am not one of those, I'm not one of those people who was, you know, where it was like, oh, I did this for a year or two, saw success, took it full time. I definitely, I mean, I guess I'll just start. So 2014 is when I started my blog and Instagram. I was getting ready to graduate college, about to work in corporate America, and I just wanted a space where I could be creative. Mm-hmm. And I was seeing other women and women of color start blogs, start Instagrams, and I realized they were regular, degular girls like me who were creating content and sharing their outfits online. And so that really inspired me. And I thought, okay, if they could do it, why can't I do the same? And my intention when I started was to just have a creative outlet. I never, ever imagined that I would take it full time. Literally out of college, all I wanted to do was have a secure job and like start saving for retirement, have a plan yep. for paying off my student loans, but still have a creative space. And so, yeah, I thought I was going to be an aerospace executive at some point. I did not think I would take this. If you asked me at 22, 23, 24, I just did not think that this was going to be the career path. But as I just moved around my aerospace career. So I worked in finance, I worked in project management, I was in the commercial side of the business. And so I worked in our very large factories running around doing projects for the factory. I realized that as I moved around my career and I continued to do my blog and my Instagram on the side, that my passion was actually getting bigger and bigger. And when it came to the point to decide on a graduate program, because that was one of my life goals, I wanted to go to grad school, I decided that I would pursue my master's of digital media. So from 2017 to 2019, I would work full-time from 7 to 3:30. I would come home and then I would be in class twice a week from 6 to 10 p.m. And I thought I was going to give up my blog and my Instagram. I mean, I just thought something was going to give, but I didn't. I ended up ramping up and I ended up using my blog and my social media channels as homework assignments, as projects. And I was learning everything in digital media about copywriting, UX design, like all those things. And I was just applying it straight into my creative passions in my projects. And so slowly along the way over those 6 years, and when I completed my program in 2019, I realized that, you know what, I have to take this full time someday, and I'm going to switch gears, change career goals, and I'm going to create an exit plan to leave the aerospace industry. And so you asked about just like how I balanced it all. Honestly, looking back, I don't know what I was doing.
Yeah, my jaw is on the floor over here.
But
that is incredible.
It was a lot of work, but when you're so passionate, and I mean, I finished my master's, and when I tell you I could have taken 4 more classes, I graduated and I literally was like, I wish I could have done another quarter because I loved it.
Yeah,
and so
right.
I was like, okay, there's huge passions in this. And so for anyone out there who's balancing it, know that it is not easy, but like my biggest tips for anyone out there who's balancing their side hustle, whether it's content creation or selling plants on the side or whatever that is, my tips are, I mean, like, just be crystal clear about what your priorities are. And if you have to cut something out, if you can't, you know, attend a social event, like I think my friends were all really understanding, especially when I was in grad school, but just being ultra clear about what your priorities are, I think is really important. And then my second tip for anyone out there is just communicate to your support system. So your loved ones, your significant other, your friends, right? Where you're at in your life. They don't have to be in agreement, right? But just letting them know, hey, like, it's a really busy time for me. I'm prioritizing this. I'm working on this graduate program. I'm working on this side hustle. And so I just want to keep you in the loop and keep you aware. And at least for me, I mean, especially when I was very limited with time, just communicating and like letting my loved ones know where I was at, I think was helpful in doing so. So it has been a long journey. I feel like I spoke quite a bit, but
I love it.
Yeah, that's been a little bit of my journey, and I did spend such a huge chunk of time balancing it. But I'm so grateful for the time because I've learned so much on time management, prioritizing. I was a project manager, so that also helped, right?
Yes, absolutely.
to be able to navigate brand partnerships on the side, but then also make sure like your responsibilities in your 9-to-5 get met. And so, yeah, a long journey to taking it full time.
Wow. I love hearing about how like this all just budded from you doing the blog just for fun. Like fact that this was all birthed from you feeling genuinely just so passionate and just wanting to do it because it lit you up. I feel like it's just so cool to hear that whole story and how it all transpired.
Yeah. And I always tell creators, right? Like when you're starting, I mean, you can start with the intention to make money someday, but you can also start without that intention because you're going to grow and change as a person. And what you want out of your side hustle or your career, right, is going to shift and change. And I think that's been the biggest change for me. I think one of my biggest, like, not struggles, I would say, but like in grad school, when I decided I was going to change career goals, I think that was like a bigger thing for me internally,
right?
You know, versus outside influences like my parents or society. I think for me, it was like just admitting to myself that like I could change career goals was so huge, but I'm glad I allowed myself to do that. So
for sure. Oh, thank you so much for sharing all of that. I love just hearing so many different creators like background stories and how they got to where they are. So it's just really inspiring to hear that. And I remember a few months ago, I noticed that you were featured in a Business Insider article about your entire experience being a full-time creator and how like you've basically, not even basically, like you've completely replaced your full-time income.
Yes.
From being a content creator, which huge congratulations. It's really such an amazing accomplishment. You should be so proud. And I really want to talk about that and how you finally ended up taking content creation full time.
Yeah. So if we've ever chatted on Instagram or maybe on Facebook or wherever it may be, I feel like I come across as probably more business minded than the average. Maybe I'm completely wrong. And so I think, okay, so leading up to the Business Insider article, so essentially for the article, I shared with the writer, her name's Sydney Bradley, that in 2021, as my first year as a full-time creator, I tripled my aerospace salary. I negotiated and I secured over $300,000 last year as my first time as being a creator. So I think people see that number and they're just like, what? And I fully understand. I fully get it. When I would see my favorite creators back in the day, you know, share numbers and see how much they were making, I was also blown away. But there's so much that led up to that. And so my biggest thing is if you're a creator, you're an influencer and you want to start making side hustle money or you want to transition and you want to make it a career someday, I am so big on setting your financial goals. So I started setting financial goals really in 2017 is when I started. 2017, I just wanted to break even. I've been paying for photography since I started. So in 2017, all I wanted to do was make a few hundred dollars a month in brand partnerships so I could cover the cost of photography.
Right.
And it's big, right, to be able to cover some of your fixed costs as a creator, right? Whether that's photography or video editor, whatever that is, it's like just starting there. It doesn't have to be, the first goal does not have to be, I want to replace my corporate salary. The first goal can just be, I want to make enough money to pay my monthly student loan bill. Mm-hmm. I want to make enough money to pay my car payment or to pay the money that I'm putting into my blog, my Instagram, my TikTok, whatever. So 2017, break even. 2018, I wanted to make $10,000 on the side because I was like, okay, I made some money in 2017. I feel like
let's up it a little bit.
Let's up it. And
yeah.
And I was in grad school. And so I was, again, feeling very inspired with everything I was learning. And I was pouring my knowledge back into my craft, into my creative space. And so 2018 was 10,000 and I met that revenue goal. It was the first time I earned a four-figure campaign.
Wow.
I still remember I was at 18,000 followers and a brand offered me like $2,500 for a campaign. And I was like,
and wow, to oh think God. About the timing of that too, that is such a big deal to, yeah, it's, to yes. get a campaign like that in that year is just amazing.
Crazy.
Yeah.
Then in 2019, I graduated from grad school. So I knew I was going to have more time, LOL, while I was still working full time. But I was going to be done with school. So I was like, oh my gosh, I'm going to have so much time on my hands. So 2019, I set a financial goal for $40,000. I was like, I met 10,000. Let's quadruple it.
Yes, let's do it. Yeah.
It's a stretch goal. But I set that goal and it was my first year securing 2 5-figure campaigns. So I was in shock when a brand was like, we want to pay you over $10,000 for this campaign. And I was like,
wow.
Wow. And so it's so funny. I think every year I set a bigger and bigger goal and I'm like, this is such a stretch goal. It's so audacious. But 2019, when I negotiated and secured $40,000 on the site, I mean, that blew my mind. And I said, if I could do this as a part-time job, imagine when I take it full-time someday.
Yeah.
I'm going to have the space and I'm going to have the time to, you know, negotiate bigger brand partnerships. And so, and also in 2019, I got engaged. And so I was like, wow, I have like money set aside for a future wedding. This can be used for a down payment on a house, right? Like I just was really, I was very optimistic ending 2019, especially like seeing it financially. So 2020, I set another big financial goal. And I said, I want to match my corporate salary at $90,000. I was like, I'm going to match this. And then little did I know a pandemic would break out in March and then I'd be laid off by the end of August. And so it all worked out though, because I matched my former corporate salary. And then I also, 2020 was the first year I made 6 figures as an influencer. And so I know we spent some time, I literally took you year by year, what my financial goals were.
I love hearing it though. It's so awesome and so cool to see how every year just, like you said, exponentially grew and grew and grew. And you were really manifesting that the whole time. You really were. Yeah.
And my biggest thing again for creators is, and this is what I get when I say, hey, like, have you set your financial goal? And I hear, no, I don't want to set myself up for failure is what I hear, right? Essentially. Mm-hmm. And again, my biggest thing is like, you don't have to set the biggest financial goal. You could say, I want to make $100 this month.
Right.
I don't know how, and it's not about understanding like the exact 1, 2, 3, 4, but it's just about first like letting yourself kind of set that goal and then identifying why you want that goal. And so for me every year it was, I want to build my emergency savings fund. Mm-hmm. I want to save for a down payment on a house. I want to pay for a wedding. There's like thing. And I think that helps kind of make that financial goal less scary. And it also gives you, I mean, when you identify your reasons why, you clarify your purpose.
Yep.
So yeah, I'm very big on setting financial goals. And then last year, 2021, my financial goal was to double my revenue of 2020. So I wanted to do 200,000 and then I surpassed that. And so long-winded way, but it's been the best thing I've done for my career has been set financial goals, because it's allowed me to see and allowed me to experience like honestly like the abundance of the industry. And the influencer industry is a $1 billion industry. And I know people maybe hear that, but I always want to reiterate it because the opportunities are out there. And in this day and age, right, and I'm sure you've seen this as well with Teachable, right? It's like, we as companies and personal brands have to produce so much social content at scale.
Yep.
And a big way to do that is to bring on creators and influencers whose business it is to create content.
Yep.
Yes. Yeah. And so I think a lot of people are always like, how is that possible? And I was like, you have to understand like the demand for like seasonal content, you know, daily content, content that's relevant in the now is so high that there is of course there's a space for the creator economy to explode. Because everyone needs content. So anyways, diving into a different...
No, this is so... I've been so fascinated with the true explosion of influencer marketing and content creation and the creator economy. It's just so interesting and to me, and I love hearing about these stories. So thank you. It's not long-winded whatsoever.
Okay.
Whatsoever. I promise. So you talked about financial goals and setting those and the importance of that. Now I'd really love to touch on trying to figure out your revenue streams as a creator.
Oh my goodness.
You do content creation, but there's also so many other aspects that go into your full-time income as like being an influencer. So I'd love for you to kind of touch on, if you feel comfortable sharing, the different revenue streams that you have and kind of tips for people to figure out, like, how can I develop multiple streams of income for myself?
For sure. So I'm gonna answer the second part of the question and then I'll dive into my own.
Yeah.
So first of all, and I'm sure if you listen to this podcast, you've heard it probably multiple times. There's so many ways to make money online. There is so many ways to create and build your career online, and there's so many ways to monetize it. And so I think one of the biggest, and this is what I encountered when I started taking my blog and my Instagram more seriously, I was so confused. I was like, how is this possible? So first, let's break down a few income streams, right? My biggest tips for any creators out there who are not yet monetizing but want to do so is to explore the different revenue streams. So there's affiliate links. If you are an influencer creator and your audience is asking where you bought your coffee table, your sofa, your rug, whatever that may be, that's a sign and indication that maybe you should explore affiliate links and see if that is a way to monetize, you know, your influence online. There are so many creators out there making six figures a year just linking outfits. Yeah. I'm telling people.
Like to know it, right?
Yes. There are creators making well over six figures a year, but it's all about testing, right? You might find that you don't like linking outfits on a daily basis. So that's why I encourage people to test. Second way to do so, right? Creating and producing your own digital products. Digital products can be downloadables. Maybe you share your email templates. Maybe you create media kits for other creators to download. Or maybe you create your own course on Teachable, right? That's a digital product, right?
Yeah.
If you are an expert in a specific industry or a field, maybe you want to teach other people how to care for houseplants or whatever that is, right? You could put everything you know and like what your audience is asking for, those same questions over and over again, and you can put that on a course. On the flip side of digital products, you could literally produce physical products, and there are creators who do this all the time. Think about your favorite YouTubers when they launch a merch line, right?
Yep.
When they launch their crew necks, their tote bags, their hats, whatever that is, right? Or you can even think about your favorite beauty YouTubers who have gone out and created their own makeup lines, right? Yep. That's launching their own physical product. So whether you want to do affiliate links, whether you want to create physical products or digital products, so much of it is being introspective and asking yourself, what does my audience know about me and expect from me? What is my brand about? And what is aligned with my interests and my strengths on how I want to monetize? Because there's a million ways to do it, but you don't have to do a million ways. You can literally test things out and see what actually sticks and what feels natural to you and your brand. Just because everyone is linking outfits doesn't mean you have to do that.
Exactly.
And then vice versa, just because your favorite beauty YouTubers are launching their makeup lines doesn't mean you also have to do that, right? Depending on where you're at, depending where your resources are at as well, right? What level you're at as a creator, that might not be the right thing to do. And so tons of revenue streams out there, and it's worth it to ask what revenue streams align and work best for you.
Right.
So for me personally, I was a former project manager. So brand partnerships are my main revenue stream. So I'm used to it. I mean, I literally would get a project, what you get a brand partnership for May comes. Here's the timeline, right? May 1st to May 31st. Mm-hmm. And then you have your statement of work, you lay out your deliverables, here's the requirements, and then you go and you do the project. The difference is I'm actually going out and doing the work versus just managing the project timeline. So brand right. partnerships are my main revenue stream. I did over 200,000 in brand partnerships last year.
Wow.
Because it's, I feel really comfortable working with
you
brands.
You know you're good at it.
Yeah. And I came from a Fortune 50 company, and I understand just how those projects, those teams work. You know, I just get it. I think on that space. My second biggest revenue is courses, of course. For me, I have found that naturally integrating and talking about my courses that align with my content pillars of content creation has been such a natural way for me to integrate a new revenue stream.
Mm-hmm.
People are always asking me how to work with brands. Therefore, yeah. I'm always referring to my course at least once a week.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure.
And then my, I think, smallest revenue stream, and I barely even count it compared to the rest, is affiliate links, because people still want to know, you know, where my dress is from and where my shoes are from. But I'm not like crazy consistent about linking every, I should be, I really should be, but, but I'm not. I know that for me, and you start to evaluate it. You start to evaluate your time, right, and opportunity costs, right? It's like, well, I could spend an hour linking all my outfits for the week, or I could negotiate this brand partnership, and the return on this brand partnership is much higher than my percentage. But, you know, it all varies by person and what you consider, you know, what opportunity costs you are forgoing. So that's why I recommend really exploring all the revenue streams and then testing it out and seeing. Because there's other revenue streams I'd love to explore. Like someday I would love to write and publish a book.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I would love to get into speaking. I would love to speak at conferences and, you know, do that side, because I think I really thrive, I don't know, being in front of people and the extrovert in me, right? And so there's still revenue streams that I would like to do. But now that I guess where I'm this point in my career, right, it's like, okay, I've identified what those are, and let me start to kind of make these opportunities happen. So
yeah. I love that also when you kind of mention, you know, you're not forcing yourself to do all these different revenue streams at once. And you're like, maybe one day I'd like to write a book. And it's kind of nice to have those different streams kind of align at the flexibility in your growth as a business owner. Because mm-hmm. maybe down the line, like one revenue stream you have now mm-hmm. isn't going to be aligned with you as a business owner and your brand, and you want to try something else. And it's so great to know that there are so many opportunities and so many different options for people to really hone in on things that they feel super comfortable doing, they're really passionate about. So just really cool to see, like you said, there are so many opportunities to make money online. It's insane.
Yes. Yeah. And so it can be overwhelming, but that's why I recommend it's like, just start researching and seeing what people are doing, and then you intuitively will have a reaction, right? If you're reading through a list and you're like, oh my gosh, speaking at conferences, that sounds terrible.
Yeah.
I would never want, then you know, and you're like, okay, right. That's something I don't want to explore. Or maybe you might read something and you're like, oh my gosh, like I could launch my own makeup line someday. Like, then you're like, okay, long-term goal, what needs to happen in order for you to, you know, looking at other creators and their journey and their paths. And so, again, like just, I think just coming in with that open mindset, it's possible for me to make money online.
Yes.
And it's possible for me to figure out what revenue streams work. I think that is just like the best thing you could do for yourself.
Oh, for sure. And not to go totally off topic here, but I just, when you were saying just like the thing about like makeup line, I mm-hmm. immediately thought of, she's based in Boston. Her name is Michaela Nogueira. I hope uh-huh. I'm pronouncing her last name correctly. Literally at the end of 2020, she was working full time at Ulta, and she quit her job and she said, I want to be a full time beauty and makeup influencer. And now she's been doing like exposés and conferences with L'Oreal. She has a makeup palette. And it's just like incredible to see her whole journey play out on social media. So it's just like you quite literally saw her goal that she set for herself come to life in real time. it's just the coolest thing ever.
And I think the biggest thing, right, is you as the creator, no matter what stage you're at in your career, allowing and letting yourself dream that dream and saying it out loud, writing it down, letting it be a part. I mean, literally letting it be a part of your reality.
Yeah.
It's the best thing you can do for yourself, especially if you, again, right, intuitively feel that inclination, you feel that energy when you start to think about your passion, your side hustle, your creative career, whatever that is, right? You have to let yourself go with that energy and that flow. So thank you for sharing that story. So good.
Of course. She's fantastic. I adore her. I think she's so funny and so authentic. So yeah, when you said that, I was like, oh my God, I'm thinking immediately of Michaela and her journey. It's so cool. And then obviously you and just so many other people. It's just really motivational, honestly. So I love hearing it. Yeah. So I would love to kind of touch on some brand partnership tips.
Yes.
What would you say are kind of like maybe three of your top tips on getting started to work with brands?
Okay. So my three tips, oh boy. Okay. So tip number one is you have to be in the business of creating content in order to attract business to create content. And so what I mean by that is even if you're just starting out as a creator, right? If you're less than a year in, prioritizing learning how to post content consistently, whether it's on TikTok, it's on YouTube, it's on Instagram, right? And consistency varies for everyone. That can be 2 times a week. That can be 4 times a week. Whatever consistency looks like to you, just make sure you're consistent. What I've learned in my journey, right? And I'm coming from, I mean, just a specific point of view, and other creators may not share this, but brands want to come to you if they know you're creating and producing fresh content on a consistent basis.
Right.
I mean, I've literally had brands come to me and they reference the seasonal content, the spring photos, they come on my feed and they actually say, I love this photo. This is what I'm thinking for this. And if you think about it, it's your portfolio, right?
Yeah, Instagram, exactly.
Yeah, your TikTok, your blog. These are ways to not only, right, create content for your community and have a creative outlet and passion for you, but if it is your goal to work with brands, it also serves as a portfolio. So tip one is to just start creating content consistently. Tip two is to make sure your profile is discoverable. And what I mean by that, and this can be for any social media platform, I'm going to use Instagram as an example because it's my main platform, but it applies to the rest of the platforms, Pinterest, TikTok, YouTube, whatever it is. So having your name in there, it's not enough to just have your handle. Please have your name in your bio. You don't have to put your last name if you don't want to, but just people want to address you by your name. Having your location, it's very important, whether it's, you know, if you live in a small town, you don't have to put like the town that you're in if you're not comfortable, but maybe you can reference a bigger city you're next to or even your state. And why that's important is because when brands and agencies, influencer agencies or PR agencies are casting influencers or hiring influencers for campaigns, sometimes they're looking at it on a regional level. So they want to see West Coast influencers or Northwest or Southeast, or sometimes they're looking at national. And having your location in your bio helps them see, okay, so we are going to reach markets in the Northwest, or we are going to reach markets down in the Southeast. And that really helps, even if you live in a secondary market. So Seattle is not the biggest city in the US, right? It's a secondary market compared to New York and San Francisco, but brands still want to access this market. And so
right,
for a lot of Seattle campaigns, I get called for. So name, location. Third thing is your email address. Please put your email address in your bio. Yeah. Please. I talk about this quite a bit. And the reason why that's important is when, again, brands and agencies are casting influencers for campaigns, they're not looking at their phones. Typically, it's like on desktop. And that email button is not always there.
Ooh, that is a great point. I feel like that could truly be overlooked pretty easily. Have you noticed that?
Yes, I'll do quick audits for people, and it's, I mean, I don't do like an in-depth one, but the moment I see that, I call it out. I'm like, you should have your email address here. And then the last thing I wanted to say in here, right, about having your profile discoverable, is tag your location or use hashtags relevant to your location. It's all about right. being searchable and discoverable. Even if you're not creating content that's specific to Seattle, like the city I live in, again, just people knowing that you're a creator in Seattle is very helpful in doing so. Okay, so that's like a very long tip number two. So tip one, what was my tip one? I've like already forgotten.
I've just been so zoned in on everything you've been saying.
Oh, tip one, create content consistently.
Yes,
tip
two,
tip two, create a consistent profile. And then I'm trying to think what would be a good third tip.
Yeah, oh, maybe something like that you've personally witnessed anything.
Yeah. Third tip would be to create a media kit. I know this is very intimidating for a lot of creators, but creating a media kit, it's 1 to 2 pages, you can keep it at one, you can have two if you want, but just, it's essentially your resume. Have your about me section, put your profile photo in, have your stats in there. It literally helps so much for brands and agencies when they're evaluating, you know, they're not just getting your profile, but they get to see a full snapshot. So tip three, create a media kit. So those are my three, long-winded three, but hopefully they were helpful.
They are incredibly helpful. Those are super valuable, super actionable. So thank you for sharing. Mm-hmm. Now that we've talked about working with brands, I would say that I think that the narrative around being paid and asking to be compensated for creating content has definitely shifted. Like, people are becoming more confident in knowing that they deserve to be compensated for their time and effort. And also, it is a very necessary thing that brands just need to do. But mm-hmm. if for people who are maybe like newer to the industry, and maybe they feel a little uncomfortable of like, I don't know how to ask, I don't know what to set my rates to, what would you suggest for them?
Yeah, once, and I know this is probably like an unpopular opinion, but I always, at least when creators message me, I let them know it's okay to get started with gifted brand partnerships just so you get the feel for what a campaign looks like.
Right.
And you feel what it's like to do the back and forth and reading through creative briefs. You get that practice. But at some point, you're going to say, okay, I know what I'm doing. It's time for me to start asking to be paid. And that can be very scary.
Right.
So I think the biggest thing is, one, understanding that you bring value as a creator. The content that you create, the copy that you write, the original ideas that you bring, right? You are a valuable addition to the brand team. And for that period of time, you're creating content for the brand. You're bringing something, you and your services, the content that you create, whoever, you know, whatever it is that you're doing for the brand is valuable. So just let's start there. And then secondly, know that even if you don't think there's a budget, my tip is just get in the habit and the practice of asking for it. You can literally just say, may you please let me know what the allocated budget is for this brand partnership. And even if it's scary, even if you think the brand is going to say no budget, getting in that practice of just asking, it just sets yourself up. So
right.
2017, 2018, I just kept asking. I was nervous. I was so scared that some of the brands were going to run away or be offended or whatever that is. But at least for me, I was like, it's more important for me to practice and get comfortable with asking and negotiating than my fear. And right now I'm going to choose my development and my confidence in learning how to ask over this fear of rejection. So
right.
that's kind of my two things alongside of that.
Yeah.
So get in the habit.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And I really appreciate you saying that, because truly the worst thing that in this situation that a brand could say is no. And that, but that mm-hmm. goes for anything in life, of like just being like getting the courage to ask. But mm-hmm. especially for this, like you said, you know, maybe they'll say that's not really aligned for what we have going on, but we have the gifting. And then maybe if you feel, then you have the power to then make that decision for yourself to see if it's an aligned choice for you. And I, for sure. and also, I really also love that you're bringing up the gifting, just to see if like this kind of brand and product is something that you would even want to work with, you know?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Cause you might find, and I've seen creators who have tested out brand partnerships and find that they're too restrictive, because a lot of creators are very, very creative, right? I mean, that's what makes them creators, and just having to adhere to a timeline or a specific theme, it's too restrictive and it does not work for them. So they're like, okay, tried out this revenue stream. Yeah, I found some success. I'm not happy with it. So let me switch and go to the new thing. And at least with the gifted brand partnerships, it lets you figure that out early on.
Right.
You're not having to, it's like a lower, not lower risk factor, but you know, it's just, okay, I can actually like practice and like see if this is the right thing for me. And at least for me, I think I waited a little too long to ask to be paid as a creator, but it was a different time. It was a different time. But all that practice with brand partnerships has fully set me up today.
Yeah.
So.
Oh my gosh. So awesome. I love it. So now we kind of, okay, I feel like we're kind of like moving down the pipeline. So we talked about getting started working with brands, asking to be paid and securing that.
Yes.
Then let's say you do one campaign with a brand, you had a great time, you loved them. How do you nurture that relationship with them? And also how do you just build long-lasting relationships with different brands and maybe even like fellow creators that you could do like partnerships or something like that with?
No, I'm so glad you're asking this question because I think the automatic response after the campaign is over is you send your analytics and maybe your W-9 form and your invoice and you're like, see you later. And right. It's like, well, actually, this is the perfect opportunity to nurture this relationship and see if there's opportunities to work in the future. So my tip is if you wrap up a campaign and you loved working with the brand and you're so happy with the team that you worked with that represented the brand, when you're wrapping up that campaign, just sharing one or two initial insights, literally saying, hey, brand, I'm so, you know, thank you so much for inviting me to work with you. I really enjoyed creating these deliverables. Here are some key insights I've seen, you know, from my audience. This is the overall sentiment and feedback. And then ending it with, if there's an opportunity to work with the brand next quarter or later this year, please keep me in mind for future opportunities. I'd love to work with you again in the future, and I'd love to work with the brand. And then signing off and doing that. Another tip for this is if you haven't heard from the brand team in a while, 6 months to a year, it's okay to send an email.
Yeah.
And just get to the top of your inbox and say, hey, so-and-so, you know, hope you're doing well. Last time we worked together was for this campaign in this season. Just reaching out to see if I can provide any support for any influencer activations coming up for your team. Attaches my most updated media kit and would love to hear from you and see if I can help or support in any way. That's it.
It's as easy as that. I love that.
And there's one PR company that I've worked with pretty extensively and I've talked about them. I've been working with them since 2018. And every year since 2018, I have like at least one or two huge campaigns with them. And it's crazy because your PR contacts or influencer agency contacts, they also progress in their careers, right, as you're progressing. And one of my contacts who I started working with, when she, in 2018, I think she maybe was a senior role in working with the influencer part of the company with Edelman. And now she's literally the vice president of influencer marketing for Edelman. And I've continued to nurture, you know, check in once a year, see how she's in. And as she's growing in her career, I'm also growing in mine, and we're continuing, right, seeing if I can support in any way. And now, obviously, she's more strategy. It's not like she has day-to-day stuff. But, I mean, I reached out at the beginning of this year to see if I could help and support. And those are just ways you help nurture those relationships, right? It's not about taking. It's about, hey, how can I help and support you this quarter, this year, whatever that may look like.
Right. Yeah. Tapping into the network that you already have. There's probably so many connections that you can really nurture that you already know them. And it just takes one simple email. We are shooting our shot all year.
Yeah. And that's my practice. I think people are always shocked because I pitch 10% of the time, to be honest. 90% of brand partnerships are in my inbox. And I think a big part of that is because of the relationships.
Yeah.
It's like I've been working with these companies for a few years and they know me, we have rapport, their brand partners are happy with the content that we create. And so my 10% is literally like at the beginning of the year or a quarter or whatever, just shooting up to the top of their inbox and just seeing how I can help and support. So yeah, I'm just giving you all the insider.
So amazing. Do you even know this has been such an incredibly actionable and valuable episode? I truly just like appreciate you just telling and talking so much about like all the details that it takes in your journey. It has been truly amazing.
So, oh, I'm so glad. Yeah. Thank you for giving me the space to just talk about this, you know, and hopefully, right, my intention in any interview or anytime I'm online or whatever that is like, especially if I'm talking about the influencer industry, just pulling back that curtain and showing others, this is possible to do if you want to do this. This doesn't have to be your main way to do it. If working with brands sounds terrible, then of course don't do that. But if this is an interest, hopefully these tips can help set yourself up little by little in being able to explore at least this part of the influencer industry.
For sure. I think this is truly one aspect of many aspects of the creator economy that is just, you know, continuing to grow day by day. And it's so exciting and it's so cool to see how accessible it is. There's so many, it truly is an accessible industry for anyone to get into, which is really like one of my favorite things about it, I think.
Oh, yeah. I mean, yeah. It's crazy, right? If you think the influencer industry, I mean, where it is today, if you think about 20 years ago, these apps didn't even exist for you to create content online and build a platform. Literally, right. 20 years ago, this was not here. And that, and so I think how fast the industry has grown, and now the barriers to entry in creating your profile, building an audience online, is literally zero. Mm-hmm. You could do it with your smartphone.
Yep.
And back then you might have needed a publication. Like you might have needed a magazine. Yeah. You would have needed distribution. And so, I think that's why I'm like so excited about it. And I know it's intimidating to get into, but like realizing your barriers to entry, if you want to be a creator online, you could do it with a smartphone today.
Yep. Yep.
So
I was literally, my last question that I always ask everyone, every guest, is, do you have any last words of wisdom or inspiration? And we can definitely do that again. But I feel like that was just such like a perfect mic drop situation.
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
That was so perfect.
Okay, good. I would say that would probably be like my last words of wisdom, is just like knowing whatever you're passionate about, you can turn that passion, if it's your goal, into your full-time thing. And I've seen it. I've just seen it over and over again. I've seen people, like one guy from the UK, I remember hearing about his story. His passion was ping pong, and all he wanted to do was become a ping pong coach. So he built a blog and he built a course or an ebook. I can't remember what it is. And like was able to make ping pong his main thing. So it's whatever you want.
That's the coolest thing I've ever heard.
it's like whatever you want. It's plants, it's fashion, it's travel, it's beauty. Like whatever makes you excited and gets you out of bed, right? I think it's like just trusting yourself to let yourself like follow that energy. And then again, if you're feeling called to join the creator economy and like create content online, I think just giving yourself permission to do so is the best thing you could do for you.
Right. Right. Mm-hmm. Oh, that was so great. Thank you for sharing that anecdote. I love anything like super, super ultra niche.
Yes.
So like that's hearing that is the coolest thing ever. And what is this person's name?
I cannot remember. I heard him on a podcast.
Yeah.
I know. But I remember listening to his story and I said, and this was back in probably 2018 or 2019. It was the Pro Blogger podcast. And I remember hearing his story and I said, oh my God, if this guy could make ping pong his career, and this is his life goal.
Yeah.
Anything is possible with whatever passion.
Anything.
Yes. Yeah.
That is so awesome. Ivory, thank you so much for sharing that.
Of course.
And Emma, I'm so glad that you joined me today. Like this was an amazing episode. And how can people like keep in touch with you? What are the courses that you like, where can people find your Teachable school and any social media? Like I would love for you to let people know.
Yeah. So you can find me on my social media. So Instagram, TikTok, Pinterest, all at Embas Edition. You can also check us out at the Content Creatives Podcast. I mean, literally a full podcast dedicated to creators and influencers. And it's just sharing everything we've learned you know, with my podcast co-host, Maddie. You can also check out my Teachable courses. Oh my gosh, it's all linked on my website, emmasedition.com as well. And if you click the shop tab, they're all under there. But How to Negotiate Paid Brand Collaborations is my most popular one. And then the one, if you're really interested in getting started working with brands, I literally named the title How to Get Started Working with Brands, just to keep it easy.
Yeah, keep it easy. Keep it simple.
You'll find it on Teachable. It's there. And so those are my courses. And I think that's pretty much it. Yeah.
Amazing. Oh, thank you so much. Well, I cannot wait for this to get out into the world. And thank you again for joining me today, Emma.
Thank you. Have a great one.
This podcast is produced by Teachable, your go-to platform for course creation. Since 2014, we've helped more than 100,000 creators earn over $1 billion from online courses and coaching products. How do we do it? By managing all the logistics, like coding and payment processing, to make it easier than ever for you to share your knowledge online. To learn more, visit teachable.com.